Psalms chapter 22. When you find it, say amen. We continue in our series on Before Zion Travailed. Before Zion Travailed. Today we want to talk about what I've entitled Behind Every Praise. Behind Every Praise. Psalm 22 and verse number 3 simply says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. David, honoring and worshiping God, makes the declaration, God, you are holy and you inhabit the praises of Israel. Inhabit means to live in a particular place, have a home in a particular place, or to be present in a particular place. It means to be present in something, a place of settled residence or habitat. Tell someone near to you, God inhabits your praise. Now, it's a wonderful thing to know this, but also to know that God is not like man. You know, you ever had some neighbors? Growing up, we had some neighbors we never saw. We only saw this one guy at night on occasion. He was like a shadow. We never really got to know him. You know, he lived in a certain place on our street, across the street, three houses down. But we never saw Mr. Covington. I don't know whether it had to do with night work or that. We'd see his car, then we wouldn't see his car. You know, man is kind of like that. You can have people close to you, but you never see them or you never come to know them. But the Word of God tells us here that God inhabits praise. Now, when God is in a place, look at somebody and tell them, you're going to know he's there. When Jacob was running for his life from Laban and running from Esau, and he stumbled upon Bethel, where his grandfather Abraham had opened the heavens, the presence of God was so powerful there that Jacob had a dream. He was thrown into a significant dream. It happened to be the place where God changed his life. But his testimony was that surely the Lord is in this place, and we knew it not. See, God made known to him that he was in that place. God inhabits the praises of Israel, not just national Israel, but the spiritual Israel, his people. We want to establish that fact. Praise, as we have been studying, is not just us lifting our voice, but praise also means to brag on someone. My dad, when he was alive and he would attend our high school sporting events, he was so proud of us that he joined the Boosters Club. And he would outsell, you know, they had sell the programs, and he would always get the prize. But my dad was one that would brag on us. Sometimes you have to kind of say, come on, Dad, you know, kind of chill a little bit. Everyone knew him, and everyone knew he bragged upon his sons. But to praise means to brag on someone. It means to praise you or to tell you how wonderful you are. You are the greatest. Now, the thing about my dad, he didn't tell us that directly. He was kind of wise, but he wouldn't always tell us, but he would tell so many other people, you know, that he was so proud of us. And it made us feel good that he would praise us like that. But praise means to brag on someone. Now, I want to take this into a dimension that's very important for us to understand. I want to give you a key today to victory concerning praise, because praise is also a tool of warfare. Amen. Go with me to Psalm 149, verse 6 through 9 of Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance. In other words, God is saying your praise executes vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment that is written. In other words, when we praise, there's a measure of judgment that is released. It's not your judgment. See, because folk, you can be mad at somebody and you're wrong. Don't shout me down now. You can be angry with something and not have all the facts. But see, it says to execute the judgments written. Sometimes you wonder why God's not, you know, beating up on somebody that hurt your feelings. Because you got it all twisted. You're looking for something wrong to happen. And they're steadily getting blessed. But God says your praise will execute vengeance concerning the judgments that are written. That's why it says, avenge not yourself. Vengeance belongs to me, saith the Lord. He vindicates. He's a God of equity, a God of fairness. That's why it says, love your enemies. Hello? If your enemy hunger, give him food. If he thirst, give him drink. It's not your judgment. It's God's call. What you do, you praise in the meantime. See, your praise is going to bring God's judgment. If there's need for judgment, your praise will bring God's judgment. Amen. So we see here that praise is also a weapon. In Revelation 1:16, take a quick look at that again. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. This is when John saw the resurrected Christ. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Where did the sword come out of? Come on. Where did the sword come out of? Psalm 149 says a two-edged sword in your hand. Really what it's talking about, that sword is coming out of your mouth. It has to do with your praise. In Hebrews 4:12, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's that two-edged sword again. But it's in relation to the word. It's in the relation to the word coming out of your mouth. We don't live by natural swords in our hands. The sword is in your mouth. Peter, put up your sword. Put away your sword. Put away your natural sword. Because if you live by that, you die by that. If you seek to take people out with natural means, those natural means will destroy you too. But oh, if you have that sword in your mouth and you start to use that sword, it will execute vengeance in relation to what is written. I know God is a good God. Hereby we know that he is with us in that our enemies cannot triumph over us. Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. That's not the time to get heavy. Like the song says, the harder it gets, the harder I pray, the harder I praise. Come on, that's a time where your praise will defeat the adversary. As you begin to talk or brag on God or begin to sing unto God, God inhabits your praise. Tell somebody, God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down. In other words, as you talk or as you praise, God inhabits your praise. And he begins to pour out of you. There's a river that starts to flow. Tell somebody, you are his connection. You are his point of reference in the earth. Amen. You are the one. You are the one that can open your mouth and begin to praise God and change an environment. Change an atmosphere. Come on, you can make hatred turn to love. You can make confusion stop and all of a sudden there'll be peace. You can stop violence in his tracks. When Jesus met the man from Gadarene, the man with legions, he was a violent man. No doubt he had probably killed before. He came out violently. But when Jesus spoke, and he said, come out, that violence, the man was naked, living among the tombs. But when Jesus spoke, when that word came out, it executed vengeance in accordance to that which is written. The man was delivered. They clothed him. He was in his right mind. He wanted to stay with Jesus, but Jesus said, go home and show your community and people what great things God has done for you. Come on, praise. The word of God in your mouth, the praise of God in your mouth will stop violence. That violent spirit. Amen. When the word or the flood or the flow, let me say, begins to flow out of your belly, it begins to flood your environment, and immediately anything in your environment contrary to God, it begins to impact it. Come on, tell somebody, your praise is powerful. We don't have bullets and guns and swords, and shields and tanks and airplanes, but our praise can stop an army. How many know that to be true? But I said, your praise will stop an army. Your praise. You see, as I read last time, we cannot allow the enemy to oppress us to take away praise. Wednesday night, I made a statement. I always, for a long time, felt and believed that God said, give thanks in all things, but not for all things. But I have recently discovered God doesn't just say give thanks in all things. He says give thanks for all things. Amen. You mean tell me when I lost my $50, I'm supposed to be giving God thanks for losing that $50? See, you lost the 50. You don't know where it's at. But you start thanking God in that situation that you lost that $50. The flow starts coming out of you. If I said the flow and it's pointed at, see that GPS got that $50 on it because that's what you're praising God for. Are you hearing? Sometimes our prayers aren't even specific enough. You're not specific in prayer. You're just praying generalities. And so God can't be specific with you.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 3 of Before Zion Prevails, Behind Every Praise. Psalm 22:3 states, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits our praise. David, honoring and worshiping God, makes the declaration, "God, you are holy, and you inhabit the praises of Israel." God inhabits the praises of people. God is not like man. There are some people who are close to you, but you never see them. When God is present, we know without a doubt that He's present. On the other hand, Jacob was preoccupied with prosperity and security at the expense of holiness and purity. He was near Bethel, but not near the God of Bethel. Praise means to brag on someone or to tell how wonderful you are. Brag on your God. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth. We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.